Amen. Same reason you don't fly. Praise God. I'm sure glad we got it, though, don't you?
Yes. Yes.
You knew where Lloyd came from, you'd love him that much more.
Right.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I never ceased to wonder. They asked Gypsy Smith's daddy how he maintained such victory. He said, I've never lost a wonder.
Yeah, never lost.
Amen. Now he got saved. He said, I could believe I could have walked in a room full of eggs. Never broke one. Walked all over them. I felt so light. Praise the Lord. Well, I've got a book here I will recommend to you. It's called The Awful Disclosures of Maria Monk. Maria Monk, M-O-N-K. It's an old book. Shows you what they've got away with for a long time. It's high price, $7 and probably about $8. Get it mailed to you. Put this on this tape. Christian Truth and Victory Publications is where you order it. Christian Truth and Victory Publications. Route 5, Box 252A. Alexandria, Minnesota, 56308. It's one of the most revealing things. I don't recommend every book, but I will this one. There's others too, of course I would, but I will this one. The Awful Disclosures of Maria Monk. Don't let them tell you that it's not so.
Yeah.
Right on the front of it, she says, what I have written is true. It probably cost Jane Ray's life what Maria told. So you won't read that. Buy it. No matter what it costs you, buy it. Amen. Spend your last nickel for a book.
Amen.
Get a book, no matter what it costs. People say, I ain't got no money to do it out something else. Don't drink no pop for a month. Buy that book. Amen. People say, can you go to heaven drinking pop? Sure can, quicker. Amen. Coffee, same way. I drink pop some. Yeah, I do. I don't drink coffee, my wife does, but I don't. I'm going to stay with her. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I got something here I want to read to you. Historical note and warning. Edward Gibbon, 1788. Set forth in his famous book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, 5 basic reasons why that great civilization withered and died. All his research, he said, this was the contributing factors, 5 of them, to the downfall of the Roman Empire. Don't forget, they ruled the world for 600 years, and they fell from within. See if there's any thing that you can correlate with our state of affairs. 1, the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home, which is the basis for human society. Are you listening? 2, higher and higher taxes, the spending of public money for free bread and circuses for the populace. That's kind of like our welfare system. Yeah. 3, the mad craze for pleasure, with sports and plays becoming more exciting, more brutal, and more immoral. Are you listening? 4, the building of great armaments when the real enemy was within. The decay of individual responsibility. 5, the decay of religion, whose leaders lost touch with life and their great power to guide. Did you hear all that? I'm not going to go through that again. waste time, but did you get it? That's the cause of the downfall of France before the revolution. Then in 1835, I think, there was a man came over here named Alexis Tocqueville, said either way. He said he wanted to find out what made America great and how they defeated the mighty British Empire in two wars. He said, I came and I went to their universities, went to their educational system, I visited their Congress, their government. He spent quite a while here. Then he went back and wrote. And he said, you know what makes America great? He said, I found out by research that it was their churches that made America great. And their pulpits were aflame with righteousness. And said, America is great because America is good. And when America ceases to be good, he said, she will no longer be great. God help us. God help us. Amen. I know it hurts people to tell them. And preachers have to, you know, use all the sanity and respect and manners that they've got. But some of our people don't even look at it seriously. They really don't. They don't look at it seriously. Amen. I recall in my mind, turn to Isaiah 28 if you wish. I recall in my mind that Ebenezer Blackwell was on his way to church, and a neighbor seen him as he went down on Sunday morning and said, oh, you go to hear Wesley preach? He said, I go to hear God. Whoever it is, I go to hear God and hear what God has to say. Now, Isaiah, please be prayerful for me today. Always, please be prayerful for me. And be especially prayerful for me today. In Isaiah 28, and 14, notice in 7, but they have erred, also erred, which means stray away from that which is right. They have also erred through wine, through strong drink, or out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They've swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision, stumble in judgment. Tables are full of vomit, filthiness, so that there is no place clean. 14th verse, wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. Did you hear that? We have made a covenant with death. And with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Then God answers, said, behold, therefore saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. That's repeated more than one time. In one place it says, and shall not be confounded. And I think Peter said, shall not be ashamed. Judgment also will I lay to the line and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. And the waters shall overflow the hiding place. See, they said, we've made a covenant with death, and with hell we are at agreement. And when this overflowing wrath of God, this scourge, does come, we have a refuge. And our refuge is made up of lying. God said that's what they said. He said, when I lay judgment to the lion and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, the water shall overflow the hiding place, your covenant, I don't know where it happened, I don't even know the details on it, but they told me years ago you had a flood through here, and I know you know about that. You've had a lot of floods, but this was one of those really bad floods. And somebody told me, and you correct me after service if it isn't that way, that they had either a telephone system, some building or something, out in the middle or in the path of the water, and they said, this'll hold. We don't need to worry about it. It'll hold. And when that water got up, it's amazing what water can do when it really builds up. It's unbelievable what water can do. Water can drag steel and get it so hot that it'll burn boards on top. It can get so hot. And that did happen, I think, in the Johnstown flood. But they said that place, if they said, we don't have to worry about this, on down, it's what they told me. And you know the story about it. And let me know after service if it's not that way, because I'm quoting it to be a fact. They said that's one of the first things to go when that water got down through there. These people, they said, we've got a defense. We're so shrewd at lying. We're so shrewd at pulling things. And this was the priest and the prophets who were the magistrates and the judges. And they done so much wrong, and there's so many drunken parties. Like in New Orleans, went down there the first time I'd ever been. And they took us down in Bourbon Street and down to the open place, whatever they call it, the park-like. And Brother Mike Whitzer told me, and his dad told me, and I think Brother Bridges, that on Monday they have to hose down the streets in that park there and up and down that street where so many people vomit. Now, it sounds so filthy, but that's what's in the Bible. Sometimes you have to see how bad things are in order to abstain from it. People don't see the heinousness and the terribleness of filth and shame. It does not seem to bother them. But it's bad in God's eyes. And he said, you think that that will hide you. You think, because you are the prophet and the priest, that you can get by with that. But when I begin to bring judgment, I'll sweep that refuge of lies away. I'll overthrow that hiding place. I will disannul your imaginary covenant that you think you've got with hell, your agreement with hell. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, and by day and night it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. Too short, too narrow religion. Did you hear me? Too short, too narrow religion. Not sufficient religion. People seem to misunderstand religion probably more than anything. Now you're awful quiet. It's okay. Amen. It's all right. I guess you're wondering what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say. Well, it won't be anything unreasonable, so come on. Amen. Black man said, loose here. Amen. Too short, too narrow religion. You know, there's not anything any more miserable than trying to sleep with not enough cover.
Yeah.
You ever tried it?
Yeah.
I know one night we came in, I was just very young, probably 15. Might have been 16. And we'd been to the movies, the preview, you know, midnight. And then, I don't remember, all walked home on how far it was, 8 miles, something, whatever, it didn't matter to us. When you're with a gang, you don't have any sense, you know. And we didn't go to the house. We stopped at another old house there, right up from it, so we wouldn't disturb the folks of these people that we were with. Very poor people, all of us. And it was raining, and I think all I had to go over me was a piece of tin. You know, piece of tin, 26-inch tin, I think, to keep the rain when it dripped. It wouldn't hit me. And raining and cold and already wet. And man, what a miserable night. No God to help me. No experience to get me out of it. It's a sight what people will do to sin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They'll spend every dime they got to sin. They'll go broke sinning and wonder why we give everything we got to church. Really? That's all you people do is go to church. Well, that's better than the tavern. Poor old Joe Monroe's gone now. And he was different. Yes, he was. Very much so. If you never met Joe Monroe, a part of your education had been neglected. But Joe was the man among the holiness people. And when Joe was in the army, one fella told him, said, I ought to just kill you. You don't get a thing out of life. I ought to kill you. Said, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't dance, you don't go to movies, you don't chase women, you don't do anything. I ought to kill you. And I guess they do pity us. It's, you know, anybody is so pitiful, it's just natural for them to pity anybody else.
Yeah.
Really it is. But religion, a lot of people might be under the idea that we're not religion, that we don't have religion. And they frown on the word religion. Well, I'd get out of that if I was you. One fellow called me one time and said, I heard something and I don't believe a word of it. And I said, you'll have to get over that. Well, that's the way with that. You'll have to get over that because you do have religion.
Yes, sir.
All men, even if they don't know it, they are religious even if they don't know it. You might say, well, Brother Cox, how on earth can that be that anybody would be religious and not know it? Well, they don't have religion, but man is a religious creature. All you got to do is look around To understand that. There's a lot of things I don't know, but I might enlighten you this far. First, man is made in the image and the similitude of God. Yes, sir. And there's a certain amount of knowledge. There are four great convictions in the human race: God, the future life, judgment, and conscience. Man has that in him. And he's not only a physical and a mental creature, but he also has a moral sense about him. Even the heathens. I said even the heathens. In countries, and do you know the reason that people turn to idolatry? If they don't have God, they turn to idolatry. If they don't have God, then they make them some kind of a god. And that's the reason for idolatry, is because there is a empty void in man that God created in him. And he's just naturally inclined. Some people look at the sun. They worship the sun until some of them go blind looking at the sun. Some turn to their idol gods and statues and worship them. Yes, they do. The Indian goes out, listens to the wind and the storm, and calls it the Great Spirit. Yes, he does. And even in ancient years gone by, they would draw on the walls of the caves and different places, and people who have unearthed and found places, they even have pictures drawn where men go, people go, their soul in a future life goes to the happy hunting ground or to some future place. That's right. And the reason that they do that is because they are religious. Yes, they are. Don't say they're not. They are religious. Amen. And that's the reason that the old world in ancient days gone by worshipped idols, is because they tried to fill that void. Man's conscience speaks to him. John G. Payton, when he went to the New Hebrides Island among the headhunters, one of the old men in the church told him, said, he was a young fella. I said, you'll be eaten by the cannibals. And this old man was old. And John G. Payton felt like he was in God's will, and probably was. And he said, I'm going to go. And he said, yes, and the cannibals will eat you. He said, well, you're going to be eating the worms. What's the difference if they kill me? I'm going to take the gospel to them. I'm going to preach Jesus Christ to them. Anyway, whatever you say. And he did. And he said, among those headhunters and among those cannibals, sometimes they'd get in those wars, and they'd come in and raid these villages and kill these people and eat them. And how Peyton said one night after they'd climb trees and get away up in a tree, and they called it the bush. And sometimes they'd take their blanket and go to the bush to hide during these wars. And he said he seen a man from way up in a tree slip up on another man and hit him in the head with a club and kill him. And he said that night, he called this man's name, you read it sometime, John G. Payton, missionary to the New Hebrides Islands. There's two books. I got one of them, but it'll be in that first one, I think. And he said in the night, as they sat around the fire in the cold and the rain, and he had killed that man that day, and he sat there and shook from the conscience in him that told him it was wrong to kill. Even people that are not saved, even people that don't believe the Bible, feel like it's wrong for you to steal from them. They think that's terrible for you to steal from them. Well, where'd they get that at? There's something in them, even though they don't have it in their heart, even though they've never read the Ten Commandments. Man is a religious being. All right, if man is a religious being and his conscience chastises him for evil, then people ought to know that somewhere that we're created in God's image and that we are like God. And one infidel, when dying, said, oh, if hell could just hide me from God's frown, it wouldn't be quite so bad. He dreaded. He dreaded that Creator. He dreaded that judgment. He dreaded the fact that I might live on. One time a group of infidels went to see one of their friends who belonged to their club that was a dying. And they went in to see him, and they said, man, why don't you embrace Christianity? If it's nothing to it, it won't hurt you none. But if it's real, you'll be a real gainer. That's a poor time to do it and a poor way to talk, but it shows you what kind of people and how something cries out in the soul of man that tells him, you need to get right. So sometimes people seek a false religion to try to get right, but it will not make them right in the sight of God. I say, I've said it I don't know how many times, I don't want to wear it out, but I say that man is by nature a religious creature, and if you're going to fool with religion, and you are, there's no question about it, you will fool with religion, you will be religious in some way. To me, I think it would take a terrible lot of faith to be an atheist. I know it's in reverse, but man, it'd take a lot of faith to believe that there's not any God. It wouldn't be the right kind. But to stake everything, and try to rest in the fact that you can think God out of existence, crazy, man, crazy. The only people in the world that are happy are Christians. Movie stars are not happy. They're the most miserable people in the world. J. Paul Getty was not happy. I used to work in a mobile home factory belonging to the Gettys. Matter of fact, George Getty, I've heard him talk. And George Getty, I think it was George, that committed suicide. Had one of the most beautiful women that the world ever afforded to Letha Paul. And then she committed suicide. And one hippie came to her funeral and said, they wouldn't want us to do anything rash. And one hippie came to the funeral of one of the most beautiful Italian women in the world, Talitha Paul Getty. And old man Getty had been married, I think, 5 times. He said, I'd give everything that I had, everything that I've got, if I could just be happily married 1 time. Well, I've outdone him.
Yeah.
Already. Yeah. I don't even have $100,000. I don't even have $50,000. I guess if I sold every single thing I had, everything I've got, and if I could, somebody wanted it bad enough to give it to me, I might could come up with a little bit. It wouldn't be much.
Yeah.
They valued my place. I gave $250 for my place and sold Jack Moore 103 feet off the end of it for $150 because the lots had to be 103 feet wide. And I said, okay, I'll give you the rest of it. I sold it to Jack Moore for $150. They valued my place here 3 or 4 years ago at $90,000. Not bad. But the thing is, I ain't sold it. I'm still living there. I don't have the money. But I've outdone J. Paul Getty and Bob Wills, who was Lloyd Whistler's idol, almost his God before he got saved. Lloyd seen him, I think, at 16. Just went crazy. And Bob Wills was known as the greatest fiddle player of all time in that Western swing stuff. And I think Bob Wills had been married 5 times. He's buried right up there in Roselawn Cemetery in Tulsa. Johnny Lee, I think, is too. But Bob Wills would have given everything. He could never be happy. One woman to another to another. Amen. They can't have no happiness at home. They can't have it making movies. They can't have it playing music. They can't have it on the dance floor. They can't have it when they ride horses. They can't have it when they fly in a jet plane. They can't have it when they drive a big limousine. They can't have it nowhere. Bless God, the Bible said that the way of a transgressor is hard. And here I am, don't amount to anything. If I died, 99 9-tenths plus of the world would never know it. And you'd get over it in just a few days. And somebody'd say, did you ever know? Yeah, I seen him one time. Heard him preach in Richland. What kind of fella? Oh, he's fair. That's all it'd be to it. But I am just about as happy as a human mortal can get. I mean, I've just about done it all. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. J. Paul, 5 women, R.C., 1 Kelly. Amen. Bob Wills, 5 women, R.C., 1 Kelly. Praise God. Hear what I said? Amen. Yeah, that van that I'm driving. My sister bought that, painted it out, so I can have something to travel in.
That's right.
Paint it out, just like you would, so I have something to travel in.
Right.
I go down the road thinking, man, this is something, I'll tell you. Yeah, it might not mean a thing to you, but you've had it. See, I'm not getting on you. I'm not jealous. No, no, forget it. 10,000 times, yes, forget it. I don't mean that. But you know when you ain't used to something, it does something to you.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the reason I'm so happy to be saved. I didn't used to be saved.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. But when I got saved, I ain't never been the same since.
Right.
I mean to tell you, I go to bed happy. L.D. Moore, I go to bed happy. I get up happy. I wake up happy.
Yeah.
I'm just happy, happy, happy.
Right.
Praise God. I'm not talking about an illusion or a delusion. I'm not talking about sucking myself out. Bless God, I've got it. You know where I got it? I got it from the only source that you can get it from. I'm telling you now, Ingersoll said, although he didn't agree with Christianity, I don't know if I can quote it or not, but he said that if Christianity is true, there is but one book. He said, now, if that religion be true, there is just one book, amen, and one little narrow path that leads to heaven. He said such a religion is necessarily uncompromising with any other. And that's the truth, too, you know it. They call us crazy because we think we're right. Well, it's not our thinking that does it. Did you hear what I said? It's not our thinking that does it. It was so before I ever got here. And if I go out of here, it'll be so when I'm gone. And when you've been dead, no telling how long, it'll still be so. It's always been so. It was in the mind of God for all eternity. If you want to study something deep, then try to figure out eternity. You won't get it done. It'll blow your mind, I'm telling you now. It'll blow your mind. And then to think that God has always been, and ever since God's been, which is always, that's deep stuff. Really it is. That's deep stuff. But ever since God has been, which is always, amen, He's always been, Jesus has always been, the Holy Ghost has always been, don't you never doubt it. Amen. Now you try to figure that out, and ever since then, God had in mind to save people like us. Oh yes, He did, before the foundation of the world. Before God ever kicked Lucifer out of heaven and told him to hit the road. Amen. It's always been. God had it in mind someday there will be a church, amen, that believes in me and believes in my Son and accepts the sacrifice that I give them. Hallelujah.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Come on. Yeah. Abel, sheep. Cain, sheep. Cain, no. Abel, yes. It always be given a choice to either obey it or not. It's our responsibility to give people a chance. It's our duty to give people a chance. If they pass it up and blow it and reject it, that is entirely up to them. But thank God, I'm getting on the wagon. You hear me? I said, I'm getting on the wagon. I'm going to ride her through. I'm aboarding this ship. Glory be to God. I'm on it. I intend to stay on it. I'm not going to mess around with no too short a cover. Amen. And too narrow cover. When you try to cover your feet, your head sticks out. When you pull it up over your head, your feet stick out. When you cover this side, you get cold on that one. When you ship it over on this side, you get cold on that other side. That's warm. You just go from warm to cold. That's a cold head to cold feet. Warm head, cold feet. Cold feet, warm head. It's enough to drive anybody crazy. Why don't you get some material and put in it? Amen.
Amen.
You know something? I got a little here. If people would just think.
I said
if people would just think. Bud Robson said, the old Nazarene holiness preacher, he said, if you could just get men to think about God, about heaven, about hell, about eternity, they'd either get saved or go crazy. They just will not think. The reason that people have short cover and narrow cover and religion that's not sufficient is because they will not think. It's not that we're all that smart. None of us are all that smart. There's really not any really, really, really smart people in the world in one sense. But in another, the smartest people on earth and the brainiest people on earth are people that become Christians. I said the Christians are the smartest people in the world. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And they are the only contented people in the world. They are the only real... You know, in order to really be saved, I was telling somebody here a while back, some church, they'd had a lot of trouble out of some crooked preacher. And I told him, I said, you know, it's just better to have a saved pastor. It's just better for a church if the pastor is saved. Turn me up just a little bit there, will you please? Amen. You know, if you're not saved, all you are is a leader of the blind. And by you falling in a ditch and they follow you, I was out in California, and I hate to drive in fog. I'm telling you, man, you don't know, you have some fog here, I know that, but you go to the West Coast and you'll find out, and go down south and you'll find, once in a while now we have some fog. But I'm telling you, when it gets foggy in California, you can't imagine. You have to climb the post and read it on the street sign to see where in the world you're at. I'm not joking you, man. It gets dark out there when it gets foggy. So I was following Brother Clarence McDaniel that they buried a few days ago. He told me, I said, man, I hate to drive in this fog. And he said, Brother Cox, get behind the 18-wheelers, and they've got them fog lights way down, right down the road. And I said, yeah, get right behind them. If they run off in the river, go right in behind them. Amen. Boy, it makes me nervous, I'm going to tell you now. Well, it's the same thing about religion. Here goes some crooked preacher, 18-wheeler preacher, down the road. Come on, boys, come on, come on. Oh, God, no. I want to back up a little bit now. I want to back up just a little bit. I want to be sure that the preacher that's leading me, I want to be sure that the leaders that's leading me, I want somebody that I know has got it, amen, and has had it, and somebody that lives it, or I'm not going to put no confidence in them. Bill Tinsley said, I don't care if a man can drink poison, eat fire, and walk on water. If he don't live holiness, I ain't got no confidence in him. Some years ago out in Texas, Brother Lunsford told me there's a fella come there whole revival, and he stayed in the cellar, and he wouldn't eat with them. And they said, we never seen such a fasted person in all our lives. Said, that guy don't never eat. Said, you talk about a revival, I'm telling you something is happening down there. That guy don't eat at all. He just fasts all the time. Well, to make a long story not very long, after the meeting is over and he got the money and left, they went down the cellar one day, and jar after jar is half eat, amen, soured, molded, from where that hypocritical liar that was a preaching that revival had ate all the canned stuff nearly up. Well, what do you think about a guy like that? I think you ought to never have him for another revival. That's exactly what I think. You say, do you think you're somebody? No, and I don't think he was either. God, this low-down, rotten priesthood had got so stinking filthy that the preachers was tipsy in the pulpit, bless God, and reeling at the bar of judgment, so drunk they didn't hardly know nothing. And that's about the shape of our government and the shape of some of our preachers today. The Catholic Church has got an alcohol problem among their priests. They have to send them off to dry them out. And not only that, Bill Burkett said, when he goes overseas with a bunch of Assembly of God preachers, and I don't know how many more, and it's probably not just them, but they drink when they travel. You lying, low-down, sneaking hypocrite, you. You need to get saved. Somebody asked me a while back, said, you know how to catch a unique bird? And I said, no. I said, sneak up on him. Well, that's what we need to do, is sneak up on some of these preachers. They may be unique, but if you'll sneak up on one of these unique guys, you'll find out there's not a thing in the world, or two of them, my God, any preacher that'll drink and trifle and lust and lie is not the more saved, my God, than the devil is. Myself. I've got to say something, and this is it. Now listen to me. We don't need a narrow-covered, a short, a sheet religion. You ever have somebody sometimes, I was in the Marine Corps, they short sheet you. They take and roll it way up, and when you try to get in, you couldn't. Or if it was, when you went down in there, there wouldn't be no sheet. And sometimes they put banana peelings and no telling what else. Let me tell you something. We don't need a short sheet religion. Bless God. We need some sheets and some covers. Hallelujah. That'll cover us up. No wonder. I was telling my brother on the way home, I read where some old Quaker and this high society woman had little old thin clothes on, little old thin thing over, and going down there in that stage or whatever in the world it was, wagon or something. And this, you know, they say V, and she had pins, shiny pins and decorative pins, and no telling what all over the front of her, everywhere, so dialed up as a sack in this world. And she said, ooh, what can I do? What on earth can I do to get warm? He said, I don't know, me don't know, madam, except maybe you pin on another breast pin. Well, let me tell you something. That's not enough. It takes more, bless God, than jewelry to keep you warm. You know the reason holiest women are so pretty? And don't misunderstand me. It don't mean a thing to me in that particular thing. Get your mind out of the gutter now. I get so sick of people thinking when you try to tell them something, yeah, lust, jump in the creek. I'm not doing no such thing. Holiest women are pretty. The reason they're pretty is because you can see them. Ralph Horton's wife's a pretty woman. She don't care if me say that. David Horton's wife's a pretty woman. She don't care if me say that. My wife's a pretty woman. Cutest thing ever lived, man. Be a curse on you. But to me, she's the prettiest thing ever lived. She don't wear no makeup. She don't need any. Who in the world, man, going to kiss his wife? You don't have to wait until a bunch of goop. Really, actually, I'm a very romantic man, really, when it's all said and done. And I'm glad. Hallelujah. And I don't want to wait until a bunch of junk to get to her. Amen. Praise God. She don't need to dye her hair. I like it is. Claude Wiley, Fred's daddy, said one time, people say, I've got to fix up for so-and-so. My husband wants this. I know one girl that's went worldly. She's a woman now, got children, nearly grown, I guess. She said, I'm doing this for my husband. Ain't going to work. Never worked for Cliff's wife. Didn't help her a bit. Not a bit in the world. Left her anyway. If the low-down dog going to leave you, he's going to do it anyhow. He's got a warped mind. There's something haywire about him. Yeah. Hallelujah. Right. I said hallelujah. Right. And Claude. evangelist told him, said anytime a woman just all of a sudden goes to change in everything, and all of a sudden changes her hairdo and begins to primp and everything else, if she does it all of a sudden, it's almost a sure thing that she's up to something. Men ain't the only thing goes bad. It took some hussy to get him to do it. Amen. You hear me? Bless God, you women's got a responsibility too. Don't be getting in a man's face, right in his face, and flicking your eyelashes up and down, and you know, look at me. I don't want to look at you. I'm all took up, jumping the creek. Bless God. God, so Claude Wiley said, if my wife goes to pimping and changing everything and change her hair doing everything else, I said, she ain't doing it for Claude. She's doing it for Sam or Tom or somebody else because Claude likes it like it is. Amen. You know, Dottie Rambo had that high hair dude, dangerous looking thing. Tammy said, I got to be me. I seen a picture of her on the front of that book. You know what they have. Seen the bookstore, he said, I got to be me, and I thought, that's the trouble. That's what you are. You're you. Come on now. Praise God. Yes, sir. We want you just like you are. Want you to be clean, decent, but we don't need a bunch of junk on holiness women. You don't need it. Praise God. Ignorance is the reason. Let me get back here to my subject now. Ignorance is of religion is the reason that people are not Christians. Pure ignorance. They just won't think. One woman said, how few think justly of the thinking few. How many never really think who really think they do? And that's about the way it is about religion. Listen to me now. Please listen to me. And people are more ignorant about religion than they are probably any other subject on earth. You know what an agnostic is? Even old Mark Twain was an agnostic, and really that was derived from the word ignoramus. And anybody says, well, I don't know, and they just say, a lot of them would just say, you know, I don't know if there's a God or not. I mean, we're not saying there's not, but we just don't know. That's nothing but ignoramus talk like that. Ignorant is a cow. Crazy fool. All this is going on. Do you think all this just happened? I said, do you think all this just happened? Man, there's a God. I'm telling you, there's a God. You say, well, you ain't. I don't need to see him. I wouldn't have faith if I seen him. I've never even seen Jesus, and I've never been to heaven, but I believe it's hard just as much if I'd been making trips every week or two. Yeah. Old Uncle Bud Robinson died and went to heaven, and he's in that room, and he's telling him about it. The Holy Father come in, talked to him, said, you got anything you want to confess? Said, I sure have. Been saved and sanctified, not took a drink of liquor. For 40 years, scared the old priest so bad he took off, stopped at the door, turned around and said, you got anything else? Hallelujah, said, I got something else. Scared that old priest so bad, he couldn't hardly take it. Another guy in there with him said, now just a minute there, Mr. Robinson, just a minute. You didn't go to heaven. You're talking about you went to heaven. And he said, I went to heaven, went right down. Listen to it sometime. Bud Robinson's hospital experience. And he said, I went to heaven, went right down. Said, I went up from my body in the hospital bed. Got above my body and seen in my spiritual body, my soul spirit. I went up and I looked down, seen my body. And when I went right out through the top of that hospital, bless God, he said I could see the hospital. And on up I could see San Francisco and right up into heaven and right into it. And right down the street where God lives and seen millions of angels. He said that's the only way that I know to describe it. And said that guy in the room there said, now you didn't do that. He said, hold it. Hold it! I'm the one done it, not you. I've got a big dictionary. I got it at a real deal. I don't know, you know, most things you buy, you get them at a real deal. Rod sales and things like that's the greatest thing since Cracker Jacks. Let me tell you something, brother. $75 on the jacket, brand new. I said, "What do you take for this?" She said, $5. I said, "I'll take it." Don't ever act excited. Don't ever get shook up now and act right. Excited. If you do, they're going to charge you much for books. Too much. Amen. Found a whole set of Barclay, brand new, in the box to come in. Jackets on them, brand new. Never been used. Said, "What do you take? How much are they?" $64 then. And he said, $0.35 a piece. I said, "I'll take them." That do anything to you? Is your heart? Does that touch your heart? Amen. Well, what I'm trying to say is, this Webster's Unabridged Dictionary, $75, 500,000 words in it, I think. Now, do you think, what wouldn't it be silly if somebody look at that and say, that thing just happened. This happened. You know, it just happened. Fool. Don't have any pocket watch anymore. I got a $3 wristwatch on, plastic job. Don't get offended, please. You'll get over if you do. But let me tell you something. Wouldn't that be something back when we had the watches and how you could set them? The old railroad watch, wind them up, and just almost to the letter, and look in that and all that. And this and that. And just turn around there and look at that and say, it just happened. No, it never just happened. Behind that is an inventor. Behind all this solar system, the sun, the moon, the stars, and they're finding new ones all the time. Used to be 40 sextillion out there in space, but they're finding more all the time. Amen. Did you hear what I said? Blessed be God. I want to tell you something, brother. It takes 21 zeros to write sextillion. And he said if all the words in the Webster's Unabridged Dictionary, 500,000 per dictionary, it would take 80 quadrillion books just to write down the names of the stars. Bless God of the 40 sextillion. And to think that God knows where they're all at, that's enough to blow your mind. Lester Moore said God knows how many hairs you got on your head. And if you tied a string on every one of them, you'd have a head full of rags. But God knows every one of them. Hallelujah. So you see, it's pure, unadulterated, cultivated, arrogated, fertilized ignorance not to believe in God Almighty. Amen. And when he sent his son into the world, hallelujah, to give you eternal life, to turn it down, man, don't be a fool. Amen. I said, don't be a fool. Praise God, the dirty devil, ever since in the Garden of Eden, how that he said, hath God said? Did God say? The devil loves question marks. He loves to cut and divide and dodge and twist and turn and say, maybe it doesn't mean that. Yes, but it does mean that. One of the best sermons I ever heard Jeff Utter preach. Amen. He's preaching on risking the scriptures. You say, what? It said, they risk the scriptures. And Jeff got that mixed up and said, they risk the scriptures. Preached pretty good. I heard Buck Moore preach one time on Gideon. One of the best sermons I've ever heard him preach on Gideon, a mighty man of value. He said, I mean, this guy's a valuable man. Well, ain't no worse than like preacher preaching and wanting to get the top nut off of women. And red heat it's on the housetop. Let him not come down. Let him come down. And he said, top not come down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we go a little further with it. Ever since the devil got that question mark started and begin to twist and turn, there's always been false religions. And people say, why in the world, if you people think you're right, why in the world so many different churches? Humans. Misinterpretation, misapplication, mislocation. That's what does it. I'll preach on that, the Lord willing, tomorrow. Not just that. I may not even mention that particular one thing, but that's all in the world it is. It's deceit, conceit, and ignorance. Some people are so deceived that they think that's the way to do it. There are people so narrow-minded and so silly that they think if you're not precisely like them. They spoke last night of people disfellowshipping over a red shirt, or yesterday, over a red shirt and a red tie, and no tie, and some tie, and a black tie, and a red tie, and tie your own tie, God said. Amen. Well, let me tell you something. That's not speaking in tongues to say tie. No, that's not the Holy Ghost. No more than that, I'll tell you, it was when he got shouting and kicking his shin. He said, you skin him a shin. Amen. No, he didn't. He said, that's it. No, that's not it. He just got his shins skinned. It's all in the world that he was. Bless God. Well, let me tell you something, brother. And they're so deceited and so full of conceit and so conceited. There are people, they'll be Methodists. If the whole outfit goes down the drain to hell, they'll be Methodists because Grandma and Grandpa was Methodist, and there's not anything else. Church of God said, it's us or nobody. They said, you'll go to heaven all right, but you'll have to serve us. I said, I'll do it. But I got a sneaky feeling that you'll have to. Come on now, stay with me. Amen. Church of Christ said, we are the Church of Christ. Somebody else said, we're right. Everybody's wrong but us. One time, in Ripley's, believe it or not, they had such a church fuss. They took a cross-cut saw, got up on the roof. Jacked her up half the building. That's a split, buddy. That's what I call a real split. When you saw the church house in two, you had a split. There's a slight division somewhere when they saw the building in two. And get a different preacher. I'm telling you, I'm bound to be able, my cogitation is working good enough. Brother Mike ought to make me know they've had a split at that church. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, with all the faults. Come on, you praying, hon? Come on, you silver-haired beauty, you. You praying for me? Glory be to God. I want to tell you something. Brother, sister, with all the faults of the Holy people, bless God, I'll take them 10-1. With all their silliness, all their crazy ideas, all their misunderstanding about the rapture, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no trib, my God, I don't care, man. I may never get to none of it, no way. I may die and go out of here before that happens. Ain't no use of me driving myself crazy. I'd like to know. Sure I would. But when one good man says, God showed him middle, and another good man, precious man, said, God showed me a pre. I don't care. But I'm not as dumb as that guy, and I heard him say it myself. Man, you talk about coming out of school and graduating with high honors in a place where they taught nothing but ignorance. Man, that guy was one of the top notch if I ever seen one of them. I don't know how he found his way to church house. He said, my nephew asked me, Uncle Ephraim, when's the rapture going to be? He said, you know, far as I can tell, there ain't going to be none. So we got no rapture, no trib, some trib, post-trib, little trib. Why don't you shut up, falling out about it, if you can help me with it? You know when I think the Lord's coming? When he gets good and ready to. Yeah, that's what I think. When he gets good and ready to, he ain't going to call you up and ask you, is it all right if I come today? No, he's not. My God, I'm telling you right now, buddy, you talk about an event. This world ain't never seen nothing till they see that. I'm telling you, if all men could, they'd die right there. They'd be glad to die to get out of that. And the saints is a living for it. There's one thing I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. John David Long said, a shadow of a doubt, the Lord done brought me out. Amen. I love to hear people talk. I guess y'all get tickled at us. I come out here in Virginia, and they don't say out like we say out. They say out and about. Amen. So I'm out and about. Hey, I may be out before this is over, but I'm going to be about if I'm out. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But when the Lord comes and that mighty trumpet sounds and Jesus comes after his church, hallelujah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out. 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 I said, I'm going out. Amen. I'm going to be caught up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. At the last trump of God. Hey, I said, I'm going. How do you know I'm going? Because he's coming after his own, and I'm one of them.
Amen.
That's the reason I know I'm going. Billy Bray, an old boy told him, said, you ain't going to heaven, Billy. You're going to go to hell. He said, I'm not going to hell. The devil came to him and said, you're not saved. You're not saved. He said to the devil, I can take the slimmest promise in the Bible and stretch it across hell and turn handsprings over it.
Yeah.
I've had the devil try to tell me, shut in my pocket now, right out of my pockets. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I've had the devil tell me, I don't know how many times, I said, you ain't running the church. I said, bless God, I will. In the name of Jesus, you ain't going to stop me.
Yeah.
And you know what I done? I just got up and done it. Got right up and done it. Amen. You say you think you're something? Yeah, in one sense I do.
Yeah.
I said, in one sense I think I'm something.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What do you think you are? I'm a child of the King.
Yeah.
I've got real, old time, Bible, bless God, holiness. I've got old-time religion way back yonder. I got it. You can have it if you want it. You can get it. You can get that old-time religion in your soul. Ooh. Hallelujah. Where's that Tapio? Where's that Tapioca preacher? Amen. That Donald Tapio. Amen. That's the way I remember that Tapioca. Tapio, T-A-P-I-O. I wish y'all had toned this music down enough. I don't want to be hypocritical, but get this music down just a little so people could hear that fella sing that song. Bless God, I'm telling you, I like to build me up first time I heard this. And I still like it. I was over at Verona here in July, and they got him up there. I didn't know him from nobody. Still don't know him very good, but I like him. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Thank you, Joe Bill. I thought he was. That senses it right there. If Joe Bill says you're all right, I'm going to take his mind. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said, praise God. And he got up there, and I told him, I said, he didn't look like a singer. And I don't mean that the wrong way. He didn't look like a singer no more than I looked like a preacher. Amen. Hallelujah. He got up there, and I'm telling you, he come down on that. I mean, if it had been possible, I'd have left that place. I'd have got so happy. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go to heaven? Praise God, right after Donald Tapio say, we're going to a city 1,500 miles long. Man, I like to blow it up. Glory be to God. And we are. Gold streets. Roll them out there. Waiting on us. Heavenly choir. Waiting on us. Open gate. Waiting on us. Guaranteed, bless God. I said, even the Pope is not even guaranteed eternal life. People go over and kiss his toe. Kissing the Pope's toe. Lord have mercy.
Well, I'd have kissed Lester Moore's toe than I would the Pope's toe. And you?
Yeah.
And we ain't in the toe-kissing business. We got a few people that we got a few people that's just not quite got a complete load. You know, their elevator don't go to the top. They just got one oar in the water. So narrow mighty see through a keyhole both eyes at the same time. Ain't got no more sense than the preacher getting told his shoes on women. What in the world business is it of yours if a woman has got shoes with her toes sticking out? If that turns you on, great God, let's get you in a straitjacket and get you out of here as fast as we can. Load that turkey up. Take him, bless God, to insane asylum and give him some kind of sedation and some feast to get that guy's brain to growing. That guy has cracked up. Amen. I ain't going to listen to no such foolishness. I ain't going to listen to it. Said, well, one of their brains got up. You know, some guru taught this silliness to them. And the older preachers ain't got enough guts to tell them to shut up. We don't want to offend them. Every silly thing preach again, cowboy boots and belt buckles and wrist watches and no telling what all. What in the world's the matter with that? You say, now, Cox, you're going to get already into something. I ain't going to get into it. I'm already into it. Shut up and let them girls alone. If they want to wear something sensible like that, shut up and let them alone. I ain't going to wear gold. Don't worry about it. Go out here and drive a car, shine that thing. You'll have to wear sunglasses. Look at it. Every kind of a thing on it, everything that makes it cool and warm and flashy and shiny and buff that thing, and then come in and act like a moron preaching again totally shoes on women. I don't care if you got two Cadillacs and another one coming. I don't care what you got, but shut up and let people have some peace. Make them little old girls, this little old girl, wear a sleeve plumb down to her wrist. It's all right if you want to wear it like that. Why don't you put on gloves? All right, Tux, all right, comment a little bit. Well, I get upset about stuff like that. I just can't help it. I just get plumb, really, I get mad, what it is. I don't mean the kind of madness it's a sin. I just get, you know, it's kind of spiritually provocative to bring stuff like that up to me because I'm so sick of it and people are dying and going to hell. Would you believe my God? Would you believe? I'm going to get into it, Lester. Pray for me. Right here a while back now, I want to show you where this tummy rot goes to. And please don't hold this again. I hope you don't sue me over this. But right down in somewhere on some microscopic spot in the world, this preacher refused to let this man lead the singing, what they told me. And I know the rest of this stuff's so, and I think that is. Because the little girl, grandchild, or where it was, had a red ribbon in her hair, a bow in her hair. And they fussed, and they fussed, and they fussed. Oh, God, help me now. And that guy was a smart man in a lot of ways. But I want to tell you something. Now, I'm going to get into it here, but I'm ready. I'm ready. Leave it on. Don't turn it off. Leave it on there. Let some jerk hear it again, if he will. We got a bunch of people in church that they're just a little bit touched anyway. Now, I'm not criticizing. All of us is off just a little, you know, on some things. Anyway, a lot of things we don't know. I don't mean we're crazy, but there's a lot of people that screws backed out just one thread. Yeah, that's right. And then you get on a bunch of nonsense and can't enforce it. And you get telling people you got to do this, you got to do that. Some church, they got a little Don Rich preached in a place where they wouldn't even let people get saved. No, you can't get saved till you go through this ritual. I mean it, man. And some one church Don Rich preached in, they had a little biscuit way down on the back of their neck here. And then if they got as a saved, and then if they got sanctified, they scooted it up. Then if they got the Holy Ghost, they put it on up. I don't care if you draw your hair up in a bun so tight it strains your eyeball, you stupid thing. That ain't going to help you one ounce. That ain't going to do one thing for you. All right now. All right. And you know what? Oh, God, this is one of the saddest things I've heard of, and I don't know when. I don't know when I've heard anything any sadder than this. And they got into it, and they told me his wife gave him an ultimatum. I'm not going to that church. And he wanted to go. He loved the pastor, and I don't blame him for loving the pastor. I think you ought to so be attached to your pastor in such a way, and very few people get that far, that you could sit down and talk about anything and still love him as long as he wasn't sinful. Now, you're going to do something to ever get people like that, but there's some like that. Somebody's going to be against you, no matter what you do. There's going to be somebody against you, and if you get another man, it's going to be against them. They've been against every preacher that they've had. You know what that guy done? He took a .38 pistol, wrote a note, and left it in the seat, pulled up in a parking lot somewhere, stuck a gun to his heart and pulled the trigger, and went out of here. And one of the best men they had. Don't tell me you get a bunch of nonsense going. Religious stuff. Brother Ralph, I'm sorry if I'm causing you in trouble. I don't mean to cause you no trouble. I'm sick of this Tommy rot now. I'm telling you, I'm fed up with it. I'm fed up with it. I'm telling you, this nonsense of preaching stuff, not no more scriptural. It's just as bad, bless God, to condemn the just as it is to justify the wicked.
Yeah. Amen.
If you disfellowship over a necktie, you don't want to wear one, suits me fine. If I thought it'd help any, I wouldn't wear one. But I can't tell it does a bit of good. It ain't got no more to do with it than what kind of car you drive. You don't want to wear a tie? Fine, I don't care. But don't tell me I'm going to hell because I wear a necktie or a white shirt or shine my shoes or wear a belt with a buckle on it. Don't start that nonsense with me. I don't believe a word. If I had a belt buckle 6 inches wide, it would attract attention to me. It ain't nothing but a bunch of silliness. A preacher should never wear anything or do anything that would attract attention just to himself. Don't be flashy. Don't overdo it. Amen. But on the other hand, let people alone. This Lester Moore's grandson. This is a great boy. The boy's had some hard knocks in his life. This is a great boy. He's going to make it. Now, he's got a right to dress a little flashier than I do because of his age. I mean it. I'm trying to talk sense into you. God help me here now. I've done already got in this trap. I just as well kick the door off of it and break out. You see, he's at the age where, you know. Or do you? Hey, Granny, have you forgot it? Go get your teeth, Pops. What I mean is, is he wants to be noticed.
Amen.
And he's not overdoing it.
No.
And some little girl come by, you know, and, you know, with her hair hanging down, and she goes by, and something about Brent's head, he goes, yeah, hold on just a minute now. And I don't blame him, Lester. I've been spaced out lots of time myself. Amen. Ain't nothing like being in love, man. It'll do something to you. Only thing beats it getting saved.
Yeah.
That's right. It'll make a boy wash his ears, brush his teeth, yeah, comb his hair, buy a suit. Amen. Yeah. Talk better. Try to speak correctly. Yeah. No telling what all God'll do when he's in love. I mean, it's the most dangerous stage of your whole life. It's to be in love. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, man, are you in love with Jesus? Are you keeping your experience up to date? Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. My God. Look at that fella. Well, anyway, I want to tell you something. We need to keep things going. I said we need to keep things going, man. I'm losing my shells. Yes, sir. It may be another. I've got four of them. I don't have them in the gun, no, but I got four of them. Don't fool with me now. Thank you. Thank you. Don't fool with me now. I got them now, buddy. Hallelujah. Don't get scared. I ain't going to shoot nobody. Amen. Don't crowd me. I'll bless you at both barrels of this gospel gun. Amen. Let's be reasonable. I said, let's be reasonable. Praise God. Let me read you a little bit right here. Just a little. Any religion is false that does not guarantee to forgive all your sins. I said any religion is false. If it does not guarantee it, the Pope can't guarantee it. That's the reason that lying bunch invented purgatory. They even tell the nuns that they can commit adultery with them and not even call it that. Buy that book and see. And every once in a while, one of them will get out of the convent now and tell it on. They say anything the priest does, because he's God's servant, is not a sin. And there's getting to be some preachers among the Christian people like that, that profess to be religious, that will do the same thing. Say, well, it ain't no worse than what somebody else does. That fella lies. I don't lie, but I believe in having a little extra sex on the side. So it ain't so bad. It'll send you straight to hell. Don Rich said there's a church in Louisville, Kentucky, where they even go up in the balcony and rooms and commit fornication during service. My God, that's like the temple prostitutes in Corinth. Let me tell you something, brother. We don't have to do stuff like that. And any religion that won't guarantee you that your sins are all pardoned and forgiven is a false religion. I said it's a false religion. I'm hurrying. Amen. If it won't give real peace, any religion that won't give real peace, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. All through the Bible, peace, to have peace, actually means a cessation of hostility. I'm not against God, and God's not against me. We're working together. I'm hurrying. Pray for me just a little bit more, and I'll be finished. I'm hurrying. But if there's anything the Bible guarantees in the Christian religion, one foreigner was visiting a preacher in England, and he said, and they talked away in the night, and they're both Christians, and he said, you know, it's no mystery at all why I got saved, why I'm a Christian, but said, you coming from an Oriental country and being like you are, how on earth? He said, it's easy to understand. I was raised this way. I was taught this way all my life, but now I'm a Christian and you are. How on earth? He said, you know what? I studied. I was in this religion. And said, I studied religions. And said, I didn't have no peace. I just didn't have any peace. And he said, one day a Bible fell into my hands. Somebody handed me a Bible and said, well, read this. And he said, I got to reading it. And I read it. And I read it. You know, there's been people that read all night, got up next morning saved. Ralph Cook went to bed as a young man with TB a dying and woke up healed the next day. Don't say it didn't happen. I heard him tell it. I don't have any time. Glory be to God. Well, let me tell you something, brother. This man said, I seen. And I got to reading this, and I didn't have no peace in the religion I had. And I read, and I read, and I read. And he said, I come across, and I said, it's real. It's got to be real. It's really so. So I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lou Wallace studied for 6 years. That's a right being her. And he called his wife to his door and said, my dear, I'm like the centurion. I must confess that this man is truly the Son of God. Then the lawyer went to the woods and wrestled and wrestled. Amen. He said, I'll stomp the woods down and come out of there saved. Hallelujah. So you have peace. Any religion that won't give guarantee pardon of sin, any religion that won't give you peace, any religion don't purify your heart and purify your life, glory be to God. If you think you're saved and you absolutely cannot quit sinning, you need to really get saved. If you're still condemned for your past sins, amen, don't let the devil pour it on you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and you'll be saved. Dirty devil put a question mark in front of everything. Everything say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Did God say it? Yes, God said it. He knows God said it. Hallelujah, but he won't trick you out of it. Jesus plainly said, if there's anything in the Bible that you could have and find out that you've got it and know you've got it, it is absolutely forgiveness of sins and peace in your soul. I'm just about finished. Sorry to preach so long. I'll try to cut it down a little tomorrow. If I don't get wound up again like this, I'll try to cut it down tomorrow. Amen. I've got enough stuff here. Man, I'm so far out of stuff, it's a sight. I mean, I've got a lot of stuff left, but I'm going to try to use a little wisdom that I don't really have sometimes. I'm going to try to use it. I'm terrible looking at Kelly. I've been through for 15 minutes, but I'm really not through. I'm not quite through. She helps me, but she makes a lot of mistakes. Anyway, if it won't give a well-grounded hope for the future, if it won't guarantee you that you're going to be all right when you die, and it's false religion. Stand, please, stand. I said, if it won't guarantee you, upon this solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hallelujah. Mike, I've got it. I've got it. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Sorry I held you so long. God bless you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to the name of Jesus. Glory to the name of Jesus. I'm not sorry for the things I said, but I'm sorry it took so long. Just go right on and do what you're going to do.